You are listening to The Evidence Locker. Our cases have been researched using open source and archive materials. It deals with true crimes and real people. Some parts are graphic in nature, and listener discretion is advised. Each episode is produced with the utmost respect to the victims, their families, and loved ones. A group of paranormal investigators drove through the countryside, up to the abandoned Bungur Fort in the Alwar district of Rajasthan. The ruins of this historic town have been rumored to be one of the most haunted places in India. On this day in 2012, India's most prolific ghost hunter, Gaurav Tiwari, and his team were about to do the unthinkable, spend a night within the walls of the abandoned fort. Two legends, speculating about why the town was abandoned, have been passed down through the generations. The first story is that of the arrogant neighboring king, Guru Balinath, who is believed to have cursed the city of Bungur. He proclaimed, "The moment the shadows of your palaces touch me, the city shall be no more." Many years passed, and a young prince came to power. He was not informed about the threat and raised one of the towers of his palace, casting a shadow over Guru Balinath's property. He did not forget the agreement and devastated the city and all its people. The second legend is about the princess, Ratnavati, with her spellbinding beauty. A tantric sorcerer who practiced black magic fell in love with her, but knew she would never choose him over her endless parade of young and handsome suitors. He concocted a potion that would make her love him and sent it to her disguised as perfume. Somehow, Ratnavati discovered his plan and smashed the bottle of perfume, which turned into a boulder that rolled onto the sorcerer. The scorned sorcerer used his dying breath to curse the princess, her family, and the entire city. The next year, a battle was fought, and everyone within the fort's walls died, including the princess. Because of the curse, no one in Bungur could be reborn, which is why it has been forsaken forever, doomed to be haunted by its former residents, who will never find peace. Throughout the years, countless people have reported strange occurrences at the fort, strange noises at night, an inexplicable feeling of anxiety. At the entrance to the fort is a sign that was erected by the Archaeological Survey of India. Entering the borders of Bungur before sunrise and after sunset is strictly prohibited. Legend has it that if someone were to stay at the fort after the sunset, they would not live to see the sunrise. Gaurav Tiwari was a paranormal investigator who believed in science, not legends. By staying the night and finding no evidence of paranormal activity, he debunked the myth of Bungur. He felt that people made too much of the warning sign at the gate. The ruins back onto the Sariska Tiger Reserve. The sign was most likely placed at the entrance to protect visitors from wildlife, predators who hunt at night, not ghosts. But when 32-year-old Gaurav died in mysterious circumstances 5 years later, some people believed that his death was a direct consequence of him taunting the curse of Bungur. Police have ruled his death a suicide, but was there something much darker at play? Gaurav Tiwari was born on the 2nd of September, 1984, in Lucknow, India. He was close to his family and was well-educated. From an early age, it was evident that Gaurav was a talented young man. He loved acting, writing, singing, and learning new things. He also had a black belt in Taekwondo. Despite his many talents, Gaurav's plan A was to become an actor. At the age of 16, his acting career kicked off, and he had a couple of gigs like minor roles in Indian-produced films like Tango Charlie and 16th December. Gaurav soon realized that he probably wouldn't achieve great success as a serious movie actor, and his parents supported him to change direction. Fortunately, Gaurav had many interests, and he decided to go down another path, to explore another one of his passions. In 2006, the 18-year-old went to America, where he studied to become a commercial pilot. He trained at MVP Aero Academy in Texas and also at Orlando Flight Training in Florida. The time Gaurav spent in Florida turned out to be life-altering. During his pilot training, he was lodged in a shared apartment with fellow students. This is where Gorov and a couple of other students experienced strange occurrences. Gorov would later refer to it as poltergeist activity, whispers, footsteps, and so on. He even heard someone speaking, and there was no one but him in the room. Raised to follow Hinduism, Gorov wasn't someone who ever believed in ghosts or paranormal activity. Hinduism believes in reincarnation, the belief that after death, one's soul takes on another physical form in a new body. A spirit has many incarnations, learning new lessons as it matures. The Tiwari family did not believe in the supernatural or paranormal, so Gorov's experience with the poltergeist challenged his entire belief system. At first, he tried to shake it all off. Ghosts don't exist, right? But the strange incidents at the apartment in Florida did not stop. Gorov realized that whatever it wasn't going away. Being someone who enjoyed research and understanding the world, he became determined to make sense of it all. So while he was still completing his commercial pilot's qualification, he enrolled to study metaphysics at the IMHS Metaphysics Institute in Florida. Gorov also went on to receive his certification as a lead anomalous investigator from the Paranexus Anomalous Research Association in Florida. From the start, he was a very dedicated investigator. He visited more than 80 said-to-be haunted locations to gain a better understanding of the various phenomena. His tenacity garnered a lot of respect from others working in the field of paranormal investigation. Gorov, with his love for engineering and flying, had a logical, scientific mind that needed to understand things. He was spooked when he couldn't explain what was going on in their apartment. This is when he set out to learn about paranormal activity, as he could not find a logical explanation. There had to be something else behind it. A magnetic field, perhaps. Something. Gorov referred to himself as a technical guy, and was not sure if he even believed in the paranormal when he started his studies. With his commercial pilot's license in hand, Gorov Tiwari went back home to India. But he would not be a pilot for long. Instead, he decided to take another path. In 2009, he founded the Indian Paranormal Society, the first of its kind in India. With 1.3 billion people, India is the second most populous country in the world after China. It has a rich history, and the people are deeply spiritual. Almost 80% of the country follow Hinduism, worshipping millions of gods. Besides religion, folklore and superstition also play a significant role in the collective consciousness of Indian people. Countless legends have been passed down through generations, and some stand by it as factual history. People take a keen interest in haunted places, and ghost tours are wildly popular throughout the country. Gorov Tiwari saw an opportunity to learn more about these countless stories in his country. The Indian Paranormal Society aimed to provide knowledge to people about paranormal activities so they could get rid of their fears, fueled by information from myths and legends. The Indian Paranormal Society attracted a lot of interest. Gorov was inundated with people wanting him to come to their homes. His office in Delhi reportedly received as many as 10 phone calls a day, and emails also came flying in. People reported that their homes were haunted and wanted Gorov to investigate. He soon became a household name as India's best ghost hunter, and some people even called him India's Ed Warren. If you don't know who Ed Warren is, he was an American paranormal investigator whose incredible work inspired the 2013 blockbuster film, The Conjuring. Before long, Gorov found himself drowning in work, so much so that he had to employ a team of people to help him. He called the team GRIP, an acronym that stands for Ghost Research and Investigators of Paranormal. Because of their work, people in India began to question the paranormal. Being a paranormal investigator is not your average 9-to-5 job. Gorov's work took him to some of the scariest places in the country. Abandoned houses, morgues, graveyards, and even vacant churches. Paranormal sightings typically come about as a mixture of urban legend added with the conviction of witnesses saying that they experienced something supernatural. If someone informed Gorov about a haunting, he would go to a place with his team and spend hours and hours gathering information. Gorov, always a man of science and reason, believed that some of the strange occurrences could be explained logically. Sometimes it was an optical illusion or light phenomena. Gorov always tried to reason his way through it and relied on audio and video recordings to gather evidence. Interestingly, he also theorized that in many cases, a paranormal sighting had a lot to do with the person who saw it. Sometimes a person who had been tormented by grief or sadness wanted to see something from the other side. Sometimes people's own energy fields were so vibrant that it caused objects to move or doors to slam. Gorov explored the psychology behind people who see ghosts and witness strange occurrences. In his constant quest for knowledge, Gorov also became a qualified hypnotherapist as well as an ordained minister in the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. He spoke to people who reported sightings to learn more about the whole situation, not only what they saw, but what their personal circumstances were. In the end, he concluded that 98% of the cases were due to psychological issues or hallucinations. Gorov approached each case as a skeptic, hoping to find a scientific or psychological reason for an apparition. In one interview, Gorov said, "Our primary objective is to rid people of the superstition surrounding ghosts. We have a neutral approach to all of our cases. We investigate several scientific possibilities, and only after ruling those out do we come to our conclusion. We do not just detect paranormal activities, but also give counseling and help people learn to communicate with spirits. So far, we have helped over 200 people." In his blog, Gorov recounts a case of a young girl who was possessed. Her parents called Gorov to intervene and perform an exorcism. But Gorov always knew to look at the whole picture. Instead of just accepting the fact that the girl was possessed, he tried to understand the demon within her. At first, he struggled to converse with the girl because she refused to speak unless she was given a glass of blood. She hurled insults and threats in a growling voice, calling herself Ajit, saying that he was going to take the girl with him. Gorov took the girl's father aside and asked him if the girl knew anyone by the name of Ajit. As it turned out, she did. In fact, it was quite a traumatic story. The boy had asked her to marry him, and she had said no. Unable to cope with the rejection, Ajit ended his own life. The girl was consumed with guilt, and over time her mental state had become very fragile. This made her susceptible to being possessed. Gorov felt that the girl was afraid that Ajit's spirit would possess her, as he couldn't keep her in life. Using hypnotherapy, he gently talked to the girl, coaxing the dark energy to leave, which it did. According to Gorov, possession is self-made. In this story, he exorcised the girl's deep-rooted feeling of guilt, not a demon. It was psychology, not hocus-pocus. After the session, Gorov insisted the parents have a medical doctor tend to the girl and suggested psychotherapy going forward. In conclusion, he said, "Possession is not only done by spirits. It can be done by a living person too. We can only stop possession if we are possessed by ourselves and strongly believe in what we are." However, in a handful of cases, possession and haunting defy all rational reasoning. Those cases were the ones that made Gorov and his team believe in the paranormal. He also investigated UFO sightings and abductions, strange creatures, and anything that warranted questioning. He went out of his way to provide answers to clients based on research. In some instances, homes or buildings were plagued by unexplained events. The GRIP team would then spend a significant period inside the place, using audio and video recorders, and magnetic plates to identify and communicate with spirits. They would then purge the souls from their dwellings and help the living residents to live in peace again. Gorov often referred to his work at Bungur Fort as the best example of a hoax that has cemented itself into a popularly believed notion. His equipment showed no signs of activity, and ultimately, his whole team was still alive, so the curse was not real. In Gorov's opinion, the paranormal world is mostly docile and fun to explore. In his TED talk titled, "Do Ghosts Exist?", Gorov claimed that ghosts are nothing to be scared of. He believed that spirits move objects or communicate using ESP to let people know that they are there, not to spook them. He felt that souls who are left to linger are confused and need help to take care of unfinished desires. Gorov set out to communicate with spirits and explain how he understood the notion of ghosts. A ghost is nothing but the residual consciousness of a deceased physical body. It's the anticipation of what a ghost can do that can actually do serious damage, the fear of the unknown. Before long, the eloquent and well-informed Gorov Tavari caught the attention of television producers. Because he had had some experience in front of the camera, they saw potential in using him for reality shows. It was tremendously exciting for him that production companies came calling. He could carry on doing something that genuinely interested him, all the while getting back to his dream of being a TV personality. Gorov's career as a television paranormal investigator took off in the fast lane. He appeared in television shows such as MTV's Girls' Night Out, Fear Files, Haunted Weekends with Sonny Leone, and Boot Aya. His gig on MTV's series Girls' Night Out brought Gorov international fame. It was the first show of its kind in India and won the Best Reality Show at the Asian Television Awards in 2011. The series was well produced and researched, each episode following a serious investigation into reports of haunted places throughout India. In 2015, Gaurav Tiwari starred as one of a team of five paranormal experts in the Australian ghost hunting series, Haunted Australia. Throughout the series, it was evident that Gaurav was more than just a slick, well-spoken presenter. He was knowledgeable and applied logic thinking to his investigations. As a paranormal investigator, he did not rely on spooky sensation, but instead focused on things he could prove or disprove. Gaurav and the Haunted Australia team went into some of Australia's most haunted places. He was not afraid of getting his hands dirty either. When everyone else freaked out or wanted to pull the plug on an investigation, Gaurav was the one who kept his cool. Gaurav was the fearless guy who got things done. In one scene, the presenter refers to him as Gutsy Gaurav. Haunted Australia took Gaurav to some dark places. Later on, when asked to name the most haunted place he'd ever visited, without missing a beat, he always said it was the Airedale Asylum. Located on a hill outside of Ararat, Victoria, where Australia's criminally insane were housed for more than 100 years, countless tortured souls lost their lives. On a separate occasion, the group of Haunted Australia decided to spend one night filming inside the chiller of an abandoned morgue. No one else was up for the task, but Gaurav on crutches with an injured leg volunteered. He went to lay down on the slab of a chiller where countless dead bodies had lain before. Gaurav stayed in there overnight with nothing but a video camera and a torch. To him, it was another investigation into the unknown, an opportunity to gain knowledge. In his own words, "To me, knowledge cancels fear." In the series, Gaurav showed his methods of detecting paranormal activity. He used REM pods, which emitted electromagnetic fields. When a field was broken, the device beeped and a light flashed. Gaurav explained it like this: "Spirits are also made of energy. So if there is a disruption in the electromagnetic field, it is a sign of paranormal activity." In one incident, using the REM pod to communicate with the spirit, Gaurav asked questions and instructed the spirit of an unknown woman how to answer him. He said to trigger the light on the left for yes or right for no. After a conversation, during which the spirit communicated that she wanted to be left alone, Gaurav walked around the room with a device, testing for electromagnetic fields, or EMF, but nothing showed up. He explained to the audience that a flashing light didn't always mean you were dealing with a spirit. High EMF could also have triggered the devices, but in this case, there was no electronic magnetic field in the room. And that was how Gaurav worked. He always tried to debunk his own methods, and when there was no scientific explanation, the only conclusion was that there had to be another reason, something unseen, something paranormal. After Haunted Australia wrapped, Gaurav returned to India and carried on with his work through the Paranormal Society. This was a job that he took very seriously. He wanted to help people. In a video posted on his Facebook page, he makes it clear that he was not a ghost hunter, but a researcher. He didn't hunt ghosts. He wanted to learn from them, so we could explain the concept to people. His aim was to reduce fear and anxiety, especially in cases where families have been driven from their homes due to hauntings. Gaurav was not a thrill seeker, but a seeker of answers. And the quest was relentless. Gaurav was a total workaholic. The nature of his job meant that he worked at very odd hours, through the night, weekends. Ghosts don't keep office hours. Whenever there was a call, Gaurav and Grip, his team from the Paranormal Society, went to have a closer look. It was also clear that the nature of his job became more physically challenging, as he said in one interview. "The nature of spirits can vary. I have faced docile, benevolent spirits, and also malevolent. I've been pushed, tugged, scratched by things that I couldn't see." Despite his unabating routine, Gaurav did have time to fall in love. He met the beautiful Arya Kashyap and the couple got married at the end of January 2016. After their nuptials, the newlyweds lived with Gaurav's family in Dwarka. Arya understood that this would be a temporary arrangement. She had hoped that once they were married, Gaurav would settle down and perhaps get a quote-unquote real job. But Gaurav was busier than ever. The calls and emails kept coming, and he could not show people away. By this time, he had visited no less than 6,000 haunted sites, or believed to be haunted. He would determine if it was actually haunted or not. If anyone in India was going to help with a paranormal situation, it would be Gaurav. Because he was genuinely passionate about his work, the Paranormal Society took on most cases pro bono. Gaurav made most of his income from courses he ran. The goal was to educate people about scientific explanations for paranormal activity. His TV appearances also brought in some money, but only as long as he was working on a series. On Wednesday night, the 6th of July, 2016, Gaurav worked late into the night again. He went to a suspected haunted house in West Delhi's Janakpuri neighborhood and returned around 1:30 a.m. When he came home, Arya was waiting up, and she was not impressed. They argued about the fact that Gaurav was still out seeking ghosts while his new wife spent her nights home alone with his parents. Arya was eager to move out of her in-law's house and start a family, but Gaurav always had something else going on. Gaurav was tired and upset, and things were said that could have remained unsaid. The fight was not resolved, and Gaurav and Arya went to sleep in separate rooms. The next morning when they woke up, the newlyweds made up and cleared the air between them. Gaurav checked his emails at the dining room table until 11 a.m., then went upstairs to take a shower. Arya and Gaurav's father, Uday, heard a thump. Then there a jiggling sound, like someone turning a doorknob. They didn't think it was strange, seeing as the bathroom door did sometimes get stuck. They carried on drinking coffee and watching TV, and when Gaurav didn't reappear after his shower after an hour, Arya grew concerned. She decided to go and see if everything was okay. The bathroom door was locked, which was not unusual. She knocked and called for him, but he didn't answer. She listened to hear if the water was running, but it was not. In fact, it was eerily quiet, and Arya knew something was terribly wrong. Arya called Gaurav's dad, and when there was still no response from Gaurav, they broke down the door. They found Gaurav on the ground, sweating profusely, gasping for air with his hands around his throat. They picked him up and rushed him to the hospital, but unfortunately, it was too late. Hospital staff were unable to resuscitate him, and he was pronounced dead shortly after arrival. News of Gaurav's death caused an outpour of speculation and sensation. Newspapers and magazines could not get enough of the story of the ghost hunter who died in mysterious circumstances. His friends and colleagues took to social media, spreading the news of his death. Everyone assumed he had died of a heart attack. He never slept too much and kept irregular hours. When he investigated reports of paranormal activity, he got straight in there, rolled up his sleeves, and actively climbed and crawled wherever he had to go. His job caused him a lot of stress, as he was always dealing with people in nerve-wracking situations. Everyone looked at Gaurav to provide answers and to comfort them with his calm and confident manner. But Gaurav did not die of a heart attack. During the post-mortem examination, they found a thin, dark line around his neck. When the family was asked about the mark, none of them could remember seeing it when they found Gaurav in the bathroom. The cause of death was said to be asphyxia. The next step in the investigation was to determine how the asphyxia occurred. Gaurav was alone in the bathroom, so was it self-inflicted? Or had someone let themselves into the bathroom and killed him? Or perhaps, was there even a darker explanation? A month before Gaurav's death, he told his wife Arya that a negative force was pulling him towards itself. Even though he tried his best to control it, he was not able to. He didn't say much more, and Arya didn't make too much of it at the time. She knew he had been working day and night for months. He was exhausted and stressed, and she thought that perhaps his work was getting to him. In the week before he died, Gaurav also confided in his father that something was wrong. He wasn't himself at all. For the first time in years, his father could see that his son was scared. In a police statement, Uday Tiwari recalled his conversation with his son. Gaurav said, "I've been feeling extremely uncomfortable for quite some time. I am being followed. I'm being watched by someone who refuses to leave me." His family also told police how Gaurav used to talk about his work around the dinner table. No one in his family believed in ghosts, but his stories were interesting, so they humored him. He was formulating a theory about a recurring phenomenon, black marks on pictures, and a possible link to spirits in distress. To explain his blackline theory, Gaurav referred to the 1976 horror film, The Omen. In the film, The wealthy Thorne family loses their baby in childbirth. Unbeknownst to the mother, distraught Father Robert takes a child whose mother died during childbirth to raise as their own. But there is something ominous about the child they call Damien. On his fifth birthday, the nanny hangs herself in front of everyone, proclaiming that she's doing it for the boy. A priest approaches Robert, saying that his son was the devil's spawn, the Antichrist. After this revelation, the priest dies in a freak accident and ends up impaled at the church. A journalist shows Robert Thorne photos of the nanny and the priest taken before they died. Both had black marks on them. The nanny had a line around her neck, like a noose, and the priest's mark was in the shape of a spear. Gorov reckoned that a black mark on a person or a photo of a person meant that a spirit had marked them for revenge. At the time, his family didn't really believe what Gorov was telling them. They felt it was a developing theory and that he was just speculating. However, when they heard about the black lines on his neck discovered during the autopsy, they couldn't help but wonder if something else was at play. Did the dark presence following the ghost chaser finally catch up with him to exact its revenge? Delhi police weren't interested in ghost stories and supernatural theories. They looked at Gorov's death from all possible angles. Police grew suspicious of Gorov's family when some of the information they provided did not add up. They said that Gorov had breakfast at 6 a.m. that morning. He died about 5 hours later. However, his autopsy revealed the undigested breakfast in his stomach. This could perhaps have been an honest mistake, an error by a family in shock. Gorov usually woke up at 4:30 a.m. and started his day doing yoga and had breakfast around 6. But remember, he only got home at 1:30 a.m. the night before. He had an argument with his wife and then went to sleep in another room. It is fair to assume he didn't have a great night's sleep. Would he have woken up at his usual time of 4:30? Or would he perhaps have slept in? Maybe he didn't feel like eating until he had talked things out with his wife and only ate after their discussion. Using stomach contents to determine the time of a person's death has also proven to be fickle in terms of exact forensic science. There are many factors to keep in mind. For instance, if the victim was in distress, digestion would take longer. Likewise, if he had something to drink with his meal, digestion would only start once 80% of the liquid had been emptied out of the stomach. The theory that Gorov died earlier than 11 a.m., based solely on stomach content evidence, did not carry much weight. There was a rumor that Arya might have been behind his death. It was common knowledge that she did not approve of his career choice. Because he often worked through the night, she also suspected that he was cheating on her. She was questioned for more than 8 hours by the police, but could not give them any answers regarding her husband's death. Investigators also found a second cell phone with a SIM card from an Indian service provider, but all the data on the phone had been erased. No one in his immediate circle knew about the second phone or why he had it. In the end, police concluded that it was suicide by hanging. A senior police official told the media shortly after his death, "The preliminary autopsy report confirms that he committed suicide. All his family members, including his parents and wife, were present in the Dwarka flat when he hanged himself with a cloth in the bathroom from an iron rod used for hanging clothes." People who knew and worked with Gorov doubted that the 32-year-old would have taken his own life. He was tough as nails. A fearless man who dared put himself in scary situations on his quest to find out the truth. Remember his night in the morgue while he was on crutches? That was the person everyone knew. Having some late nights with a discontented wife at home would not have been too much for him to bear. He was trying to work things out as best he could. Of course, standing on the outside, one never knows what a person goes through before ending their own life. But Gorov's co-workers and friends attested to the fact that he was not suicidal in the time leading up to his untimely death. On the contrary, he had many television projects lined up. He was excited to get to work. He was not at a loss of hope or at a dead end whatsoever. The day before he died, he posted a photo of Youth Incorporated magazine on his Facebook page. Gorov was on the front cover, along with 4 other successful young Indian professionals, in a special called Power of the Five. It was Gorov's wife and his father who told police about the dark forces pulling him story. Could it be that they would rather place the blame on an unexplained entity than considering the possibility that he had ended his own life? Gorov's family was religious. In Hinduism, suicide is seen every bit as sinful as taking someone else's life. The Sanskrit word for suicide, atmahatya, literally means soul murder. It is believed that ending one's life sets off a series of karmic events, which prevents one soul of ever resting in peace. Could it be that his family tried to conceal his suicide in an attempt to save his soul? That is not very likely. Gorov spent his life solving mysteries. His family would not have wanted to add to the mystery of his death by making things up. In his lifetime, Gorov was called a paranormal activist. He knew some people believed in the supernatural and others didn't. He never believed until his experience in Florida. After that, he dedicated his life to understanding something most people would instead turn their backs on or dismiss as make-believe. He was serious about his studies and listened to people when they told him stories that sounded crazy to most. Perhaps we should take a moment to ponder an alternative theory and consider Gorov's account of a dark force that pulled him in. In an interview 2 years before his death, he said, "The more you get scared, the more they feed on your negative energy and get stronger. Once you show that you can face them, they won't trouble you." He spoke to his dad and wife of a dark force that he struggled to keep at bay. Paranormal investigators typically take measures to protect themselves from evil forces. There is no clear-cut guide as to what would serve as protection, so it comes down to personal choice. Some wear satchels around their necks filled with herbs or stones. Others say a protection prayer before entering a haunted house. Gorov didn't do any of this.
"If you want to stay protected, you have to believe in yourself. You just have to believe that nothing can harm you. Let me tell you a secret. I have been to so many haunted locations and for over years, but I never use any protection. Because I want to explore. It's just like you go on hunting an animal and you wear all the protection to keep him away. So if you don't call your animals towards yourself, how can you hunt? We don't hunt ghosts. I don't call myself a ghost hunter though, because I research on them. I don't go and killing down ghosts, and I don't flaunt like a ghost hunter. It's a wrong term a lot of people use, but it's acceptable now. But yeah, if you're in search of ghosts, you should always see to communicate with them, not to escape them, not to keep them away. This is how you can become a good researcher."
If forensic evidence points to suicide, but no one has a motive why Gorov would end his life, is it possible that he did in fact kill himself? Not because he meant to, but because he was forced to do so? Was he visited by the darkness on that morning and found himself unable to control it? Gorov's friend and team member of GRIP, Waqar Raj, visited thousands of locations with Gorov. It was Gorov who taught him not to be scared and to stand firm against unseen and unexplained energies. Waqar quoted something Gorov had said to him in an interview with the Sunday Guardian. "No human can kill himself. If he does, he must be possessed." Some people believe it was the curse of Bungur that bided its time and patiently waited until Gorov was settled in his personal and professional life before it struck. Others feel that a dark, hostile energy attached itself to Gorov somewhere during his thousands of investigations, a maleficent force that played its final hand. If you'd like to read more about this case, have a look at the resources used for this episode in the show notes. Also, visit and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/evidencelockerpodcast to see more about today's case. If you like our podcast, please subscribe in Apple Podcast or wherever you are listening right now. This was The Evidence Locker. Thank you for listening.